ಜಯ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜಯ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪದ जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
विश्वपाद परमहंस विराजकाचार्य अश्वत्र श्री श्रीमती ग्रेसे श्री भक्तिवंत स्वामी राशील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस विराजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर चर श्री श्रीमद भक्त सिद्धांत ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबली डिवोटेड्स ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबली डिवोटेड्स ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबली डिवोटेड्स ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री गुरु गौर प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 1. Shri Narada Vacha Evam Daitya Sutai Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Uvachatan Smayamana Smaranmat Anubhashitam Evam Daitya Sutahi Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Uvachatan Smayamana Smaranmat Anubhashitam Evam Daitya Sutai Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Uvachatan Smayamana Smaranmat Anubhashitam Tetyasute Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Uvajatan Smayamana Smaranmad Anubhashitam Shri Narada Uvacha Evam Daityasute Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Uvajatan Smayamana Smaranmad Anubhashitam Sri Narada Vacha Evam Daitya Sudai Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Saranmat Anubhashitam Shri Narada Uvacha Evam Daitya Sutai Prashto Mahabhagavato Suraha Uvachatan Smayamanaha Smaranmat Anubhashitam Evam Daitya Sutai Prishto Mahabhagavato Suraha Vajatan Smayamanaha स्मरण मत अनुभाषितम। माता जी, श्री नारद उवाच एवं दैत्य सुते पृष्ठो हा भागवतो सुरः वाजतान् स्मयमानः स्मरन् तत् अनुभाषितम्। श्री नारद उवाच दैत्य सुते पृष्ठो महाभागवतो सुरः वाजतान् स्मयमानः स्मरन्मद् अनुभाषितम्। श्रीनारद उवाच एवं दैत्यपते पृष्टो महाभागवतो सुरः वाजत स्मयमानः स्मरन्मद् अनुभाषितम्। Sri Narada Uvacha, the great saint Narada Muni said, Evam, thus, Daitya Sutaihi, by the sons of the demons, Prishtaha, being questioned, Mahabhagavataha, the exalted devotee of the Lord, Asuraha, born in a family of demons, Vacha, spoke Tan unto them, the sons of the demons, Smayamanaha, smiling, Smaran, remembering, Mat Anubhashitam, what was spoken by me. Narada Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees, having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras. He remembered the words spoken to him by me and replied to his friends as follows. So we'll read the chapter summary and then we'll read the purport. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, the son of the demon Prahlad Maharaj states how within the womb of his mother he had heard from the mouth of Narada Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavata Dharma. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachala to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife Kayadhu was pregnant at that time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. While they were taking Kayadhu to the heavenly planets, they met Narada Muni, who stopped them from taking her away and took her to his ashram until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narada Muni's ashram, Kayadhu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb, and Narada Muni reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad Maharaj, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. There is no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service. And Prahlad Maharaj, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narada Muni. Any persons engaged in the service of the Lord, although the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately liberated, and being free from the clutches of Maya, he is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. Devotional service is not independent on the material activities of austerity, penance, mystic yoga or piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of a pure devotee. So that's the chapter summary. So we'll read the purport, the short purport. When he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj listened to the words of Narada Muni. One cannot imagine how the baby in the embryo could hear Narada, but this is spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. This is called ahaituka pratihata. Reception of spiritual knowledge is never checked by any material condition. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, from the very childhood, spoke spiritual knowledge to his class friends, and certainly it was effective, although all of them were children. Om jnanatimiranthasya jnananchana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padagamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanyutam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dinabandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanusute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchagalpadarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahatbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yatamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solan Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. Here we are starting the new chapter, what Prahlad learnt in the womb, because in the previous verses Prahlad's classmates were wondering how he could speak such an elevated philosophy which is against ascetic principles. They asked, you are here with us all the time. We never knew that you went out because you are just 5 years old, just like all of us. And within that short time, how did you learn all this philosophy? And if you hear the previous chapter, that is chapter 6, it has condensed philosophy. The entire Bhagavatam, you can see in this chapter, he is preaching so effectively to his class friends. So they were wondering, how did you learn? And so, as it is mentioned here, Prahlad Maharaj, he smiled, remembering the teachings that he received from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, when he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadhu. So here the question arises, how is it possible for a baby in the embryo form to listen this advanced spiritual knowledge, assimilate, practice and perfect, and now preach? How is it possible? Then Srila Prabhupada answers this question very clearly, saying that nothing can check spiritual progress. No material impediments can check spiritual progress. In other words, in any material circumstance, one can make spiritual progress. One can listen, one can understand, one can apply, one can perfect one's life. So this is the essence of today's purport. And indeed, we can see the life of Prahlad Maharaj is an exemplification of the whole thing. He exemplified the whole philosophy that is mentioned in this short purport, that nothing indeed checked Prahlad Maharaj's life. Isn't it? He was just 5 years old. We know the past time, what took place. We can go through a few incidents that took place in Prahlad Maharaj's life, and we can see how amazing it is. As just a young boy, his father, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, asked him. He actually, with love, he placed him on his lap and asked, "What did you learn at school? Or what is the best that you learned at school?" Manye sadhu yat bhavan. Bhavan. Very with a lot of love and respect, he's asking his son, "Bhavan." Not even tom. Tom means you, just you. But bhavan means almost like your good self. You know, it's like with a lot of respect, bhavan. With a lot of respect, he asked his own child with a lot of affection. What did you learn? Sadhu, the best. Then what did he say? What was the verse? Who knows the verse? Not Sravanam Kirtanam. What is the verse? Tat sadhu manye asuravarya dehinam sada samadikna dhyam asadgrahat hitvatma padam grihamandhakupam vanam gadoya dharima shreta. Very clear. What did he say? Tat sadhu manye. That is sadhu. That is the best. Okay. Yat sadhu. That's what? What is the best? Hiranyakashipu asked. Now Prahlad is saying, Tat sadhu, that is the best. Manye, manye means I consider that is the best. To whom he is speaking? To Asuravarya. Asuravarya, best of the demons. For Dehinam, for the living entities who are entrapped in a Deha, in a body, that is Dehi. For the Dehinam, for those living entities, what is the best? It is mentioned, okay, before coming to the best, what is the condition of a living entity? He explains in one pada of the verse, just one line of the verse. He says, Sada samadigna dhyam asadgrahat. Sada samadigna dhya. Samadigna dhya. One is always in anxiety. The entire Kali Yuga is summarized in just one line of this verse. Can you imagine when this happened? Millions of years back. And who is speaking? A 5-year-old boy. When did he learn? Just 5 years before. Isn't it? He was in the womb. Just 5 years before he heard, he practiced, he perfected. And now he is telling, Sada samadhikna dhiyat asadgrahat. Why? Asadgrahat. So asadgrahat, Srila Prabhupada translates, one conditioning in this material body and also being attached to a family. So that is asadgraha, temporary family life. That's what Prabhupada translated as. Then he says, one has to go through such an anxiety, one has to go through such embarrassment in life. So he says, hitva atmapadam grihamandhakupam. Hitva means giving up. Atmapadam. Atmapadam means that will destroy spiritual life. In other words, it makes the atma to fall down. That is atmapadam. That is griha. Materialistic family life. Andhakupam. That is compared to Andhakupam. Andhakupam means deep dark well. Why? Prabhupada gives so many lectures on this particular verse, and he says one is suffering in attached family life. But one is crying, one is inside, one is crying, going through so much of anxiety, but no one is there to hear. And there is darkness because there is no knowledge. So this is life. We can see this and we should see this around us. This part of learning Bhagavatam is we have to see this. How people are suffering. And depending on our own material attachment, we can also see how we are suffering too. Isn't it? How far we are attached, we can also experience our own suffering. So that is hitvatmapadam griham andhakupam vanam gadoyat harimashrayeta. ഹരിമാശ്രയത, യു ടേക്ക് ഷെൽട്ടർ ഓഫ് ഹരി. ഹൗ? ഗോ ടു വൃന്ദാവൻ. So here, Prabhupada, it's a very interesting translation if you see. Prahlad Maharaj says Vanam, but Prabhupada translates it as Vrindavan, because that is the ultimate shelter. In this way, he starts preaching. Initially, Hiranyakashipu took it easy. That's okay, young boy speaking something. It is because of bad association. He thought, Narada Muni is coming, all these Vaishnavas, they are coming, maybe incognito, preaching to the boy. That's why his intelligence is polluted, but we should give good education. In fact, Hiranyakashipu was smiling that point in time. He was not angry. Later it will come, Vrusha, with great anger. But now, he just smiled, he took it easy. It's alright, you know, this boy has been corrupted by someone. And he immediately called Shanda and Amarka. Shanda and Amarka came, the sons of Yukracharya. He told, you know, make sure that there is no access to any Vaishnavas to Gurukul. Make sure that you teach them properly. Shanda Amarka said, yeah, definitely we will take care of this boy. We will teach him. And then they called him. So Shanda and Amarka, they took boys to Gurukul. Like you people go to Gurukul. Right? You go to Gurukul, do you? Your home is Gurukul, right? So that is Gurukul. Or your Gurukul is partly here in middle part school, partly at home. So you have two Gurukuls, some of you. So this is Gurukul. So they took him to the Gurukul and they called him, don't worry, we are not going to beat you. Shanda and Amarka told Prahlad, we will not beat you. Tell the truth. Please tell the truth. Where did you learn all these things? Because we haven't seen anyone coming here. So where did you learn all this? And Prahlad Maharaj, he gave the answer. His answer was very interesting. First itself, Prahlad Maharaj said, young boy, he said, I have heard in the scriptures that there are friends and enemies. There is this perception, there is this materialistic perception of seeing people as friends and enemies. Now, from your own mouth and around us, I am seeing this. So far I have heard from the authorities. Now I am seeing how one can distinguish between friends and enemies. Please see the elevated consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj. The same thing we read in the previous chapter as well. The definition of an asura, a demon, is he or she distinguishes between friends and enemies. When I read that, this is something very powerful. Just think about it. If we distinguish between friends and enemies, that is a demoniac nature. Can you see? We always think like that. So we can see the asuric nature is within us. So this was the first statement. And then he said, I am naturally attracted to Krishna. He was telling you. What is that? Yadha Brahmet, Yadha Brahman, Swayam Agarsha Sannidho, Swayam Agarsha Sannidho, Yadha Brahmati, I am being attracted. Brahman, still he is addressing his teachers as Brahman. Yadha Brahmati Adho Brahman, he is addressing them, you are Brahmanas, great teachers, Brahmanas, but Brahmati, my mind is constantly attracted. Soyam agarsha sannidho. Just as an iron piece is attracted to a magnet. In that way, my mind is attracted. Tathame bhidyade chetas chakrapanar yadrichaya. Yadrichaya means somehow or other or involuntarily. I am not making any decision. Yadrichaya, I am being naturally attracted to Krishna. So he said, then they were completely surprised and shocked. So when I read the response or the thought process of Shanda and Amarka, the verse was really hilarious. And we went through that verse. It was in the fifth chapter. They started thinking or they started saying that Daiteya Chandanavane Jatoyam Kanthagadruma. It's very, very funny actually how they spoke. Daiteya Chandanavane. He considered all these asuras, all these demons as sandalwood. So here we have a Daiteya Chandanavana. Here we have the forest of sandalwood. All the sandalwood are like the great demons. And Jatoyam, he is born. Who is that? Kanthagadruma. He is a thorny tree. in the forest of this sandalwood, you know, sandalwood who are like the demons. And I was thinking, oh, this is really funny. The Bhagavatam presentation is very funny. How these metaphors are used are very, very funny. Daiteya chandanavane jatoyam kanthagadruma. And then they say, next one is also very interesting because, next line is very interesting because they had this vision. Yen moolon moola parashor vishnor nalayator bhaga. There's a moola unmoolana parashu. So, who is the moola unmoola parashu? Parashu means axe. You know, we have Parashuram who carries parashu. Moola unmoola parashu. Who is that? Vishnu. Vishnu is the moola unmoola parashu. Vishnu is that axe. And nalayata arbhaga. Nalayata means the handle. This arbhaga, this child is going to be the handle of that axe, who is Vishnu, who is going to cut the root of this Daiteya Chandanavana, the forest of all these demons who are like sandalwood trees. So this was the response. Can you see how these brahmanas who were meant to teach devotional service, they are being polluted because of the desire for some money, for some remuneration, for their own sustenance. And they changed their consciousness. And they taught everything, whatever they could. Then brought back to Hiranyakashipu. Then again he asked, what did you learn the best? Then what was the answer? Shravanam kirtanam Vishno, smaranam padasevanam, archanam mandanam, dasyam sakhyam atmanivedanam, idippum sarpidam Vishno, bhakti che navalakshana, kriyeta, artha, tanmanye adhitam uttamam. Good. That is actually very, very, very important part. The second part is very interesting because all the nine processes of devotional service explained, and then said, one who knows this, one who knows this nine process of devotional service, one who practices, I consider that person to be the most learned. So he makes it clear. And that is the adhitam uttamam. That is the best of the teaching. So this is how Prahlad Maharaj preached. Now, can we look back to this verse and see what is mentioned here? Prahlad Maharaj learned everything in the womb of his mother. How many of you remember anything from the womb? Do you remember anything? Bhagavad Gita? Any shlokas? No. Not really? Okay. From the womb? No? There is a possibility because all of you heard many Bhagavad Gita shlokas, many kirtans, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, many things you heard in the womb. Probably you don't remember now, but it is being revived. You come to the class, you're hearing Bhagavatam, so everything is coming to the surface. So it's very easy for you to memorize all the verses. Is it true? Easy for you to remember the verses? Probably, yes. I think so. Yeah, you can chant so many verses, right? Yeah. Which chapter did you learn the latest? Of Bhagavad Gita. Probably you learned that before, right? Or just now? Before, I know. Bhagavatam, which chapter did you learn latest? No? After Venu Gita? Anything did you learn? Gopi Gita you learned, okay. You wanted to learn Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, right? Is it right? Did you learn? Not yet, okay. Still learning. Did you learn some verses from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers? Oh, okay, good. I heard the news that you were learning or going to learn at one point in time. That was good. So, very beautiful verses. Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, maybe 43 or 45, quite a few verses. Very powerful verses. So, this is what's going on here. So, he was preaching directly. Second time also he was preaching. And this time what happened to Hiranyakashipu? He was angry, Rusha, with great anger. He started calling names. He said, you are a rascal. How do you take birth in this family? So, can you imagine? So, he was so angry. And then, again, he started chastising Chanda and Amarka. Did anything happen to Prahlad Maharaj, five-year-old boy? Nothing. He was just sitting calm and quiet, unaffected by any of these things. Can you see his spiritual life is unchecked by anything external, anything to do with the material world. This is amazing if you think about it. And then he immediately chastised Prahlad and asked him, where did he learn all this from? Then he started preaching straight away. Isn't it? Madhurna Krishna Paradasvatova. So he started preaching very heavily. That is, you know, Madhurna Krishna Paradasvatova Midhoba Buddhiyada Grihavratanam Adhanda Gobir Vishadanta Mishram Punah Punah Charvita Charvananam. He said, those who are attached to material family life, they are heading towards Tamisram, towards hell. There is a particular hell known as Tamisra. So you are heading towards Tamisra. Why? Because senses and mind are not controlled. It's very clear. The statement is very clear. Can you see how Prahlad Maharaj is such an effective preacher and he's fearless? He's coming to the point. Why? Because the mind and senses are not controlled. Adanda Gobhir. And punapunascharvita charvanana. Eating what with that which is already been chewed. Chewing the chewed. So this is chewing the chewed. That is the material life. As Prabhupada often says, Prabhupada talks about Indians. Indians who come to the West or in India trying to imitate Western way of life. What did Prabhupada say? Anyone remembers? Which living entity, which species name Prabhupada used? Old cross and new cross. Old cross. Old cross means Westerners were eating the rubbish. That is just sense and enjoyment. And he said, now we have the new cross. Indians want to imitate. So Prabhupada said, there are the new cross and the old cross. Same principle. Same principle. And here we can see the same principle is coming. Natevidu swartha gadim hi Vishnu. Next one, right? So, virashyaye bahirarthamanina. Andha yathanter upaniyamana. Tebishatantriya urudamni baddha. Andhaya dhanthe. Prabhupada uses this so many times, isn't it? Andhaya dhanthe rupaniyamana. A blind leader is leading all the rest. We can see in this world. A blind leading the blind. That is this material world. No one knows how to live a life. And here, Prahlad Maharaj, just a young boy, he preaches. And in the next verse, he says, Mahiya sampadara jopishekam nishkinjanana navrinita yavat. He says, the only possibility to get out of this materialistic life is Mahiyasam Pada Rajobhishekam. One has to smear one's body with the dust of the Lord's feet of a pure devotee. Nishkinjananam. Then only one can get out of the material suffering. And that we can see in our life, in others' lives. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj, there is no impediment in his spiritual life. Even at the verge of death, Hiranyakashipu ordered him to kill him in so many different ways, right? Giving poison, putting him in the snake pit, throwing from the cliff, putting him in the fire, pushing him off the cliff, trampling by elephants, but nothing happened. So nothing stopped Prahlad's devotional service. Previous chapter, he preached to the Asrik friends and they all started chanting. So we can see in any situation for a pure devotee, nothing can check devotion service. That is Ahetuki Apratihata. So we often say the characteristics of pure devotion service as it is mentioned here. Ahetuki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. First canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see that in the life of Prahlad Maharaj. However, when we look into our own life, is it ahetaki? Is it apratihata? Probably not. At least I can say for myself, it is not ahetaki or apratihata. It is there for some time, but not always. So then the question arises, for us, can material things cause impediments to our spiritual life? Yes. And in proportionate to our surrender unto the Supreme Lord, we can see that there are many impediments to our spiritual life, to our spiritual progress. Isn't it? So I was thinking, what is causing those kind of impediments? Because if you see the life of Prahlad Maharaj, There are obstacles for pure devotees as well as for sadhakas. For siddhas and sadhakas, certainly there are obstacles in their pathway to spiritual progress or spiritual practice. The perfect devotees are not affected by these. They are completely in Krishna consciousness, like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, even before describing his encounter or interaction with his father, he was completely absorbed in Krishna. As it is mentioned, he is Krishna Graha Grihitatma. Usually in astrology people say we are affected by different planets. But here about Prahlad Maharaj, it is mentioned Krishna Graha Grihitatma, who is completely captured by Krishna Graha. It was also mentioned he was unaware of what he was doing, whether he was eating, sleeping, sitting. He was unaware of all the externals. It is mentioned he was Govinda Parirambhidaha. He was being embraced completely by Govinda. So this was the consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj. And that's why he was completely oblivious to all these material situations. And so Prahlad Maharaj could teach these spiritual instructions without any impediments as well, despite the material circumstances. But when it comes to our life, we ask, there are so many obstacles and there are so many impediments in spiritual progress. And why is it so? Okay, on one level we can say, we are not fully surrendered. Yes? Then we can say, there can be other problems. We can have insincerity. We can be insincere. We can have weakness of heart. What is weakness of heart? We may know all the principles. We may know what to do. But when we are confronted with a situation where our senses or mind are attracted by material allurements, suddenly we become weak. We fall for it. So this is weakness of heart. So we can see insincerity. They are all connected points. Insincerity, weakness of heart. Similarly, we can also see that we lack desire. Is it true? We may lack desire when we have, this is a competition of this desire. It's almost like if you go to the park, there is a seesaw. What do you call that? You used to call it seesaw. You go up and down. It is like that. Depending on what is more, what desire is more, whether material desire or spiritual desire. So ultimately we can see we need to cultivate our spiritual desire, and that is the only way we can effectively practice spiritual life. That is the only way we can actually get over obstacles. So we need that strong desire to step up the game. Because we are always, this is a constant practice. We may be here, but we want to go to the next level. And after that, we want to go to the next level. So there is no such thing as, okay, we are perfected, or there is no such thing as we can hit a plateau. That doesn't exist in spiritual life. Either we are making progress, or we are coming down. There is nothing like, we are steady in that sense. Okay, if we are steady in devotional life, it means that we are steadily making progress in devotional life. It is not like steady means our devotion is just steady. No, we are making progress in devotional life. And so, when it comes to us, how can we be so inspired? How can we be so desirous to make progress in life? We have so much desire that the material obstacles are no more obstacles in our spiritual life. Or we are able to step up our spiritual practice. I was thinking about it, because this is a very pertinent question for any practitioner, isn't it? Because we can all feel, I am at this level and I wish if I can come to the next level. At least if we think like that, that is well and good. And if we don't, it's a problem. So in bhakti, we need to have the desire. We need to have ambitions. It is very good to have that. So we don't want material desires and material ambitions. And we are not here to come to a point where the mind is devoid of any desires. But we need spiritual ambitions and desires. And how can we cultivate it? And the strongly if we cultivate it, it is easier to make progress. So I was thinking about it. And the most important point that came to my mind is through the association of the devotees. Meaning, we shouldn't be alone in the association of the devotees. Alone in the sense that we should open our eyes, mind and heart in the association of the devotees, where we are able to observe an advanced position of a devotee. He or she may be a little above us, or a bit more than us. We should be able to see that first, acknowledge that. That is very useful. And then we can see that, okay, he or she has such spiritual qualities or such strong spiritual practice. And if I can get in my life, if I can do that, if I can emulate in my life, that would be so wonderful. So in association of the devotees, yes, we need association of very senior devotees. And also we need association of equals and who are almost equal. Getting the point? So who are not too far away, who are just above us, where we see that, look, my chanting is all over the place, but such and such devotee is sitting at one place and chanting all the rounds. Such and such devotee has some absorption in chanting. Such and such devotee is reading the book carefully and understanding the point. Another devotee is distributing the book so nicely. Somebody is preaching so nicely. So first we have to open our eyes and heart to see how others are performing devotional service, and we need to get inspired by that. But the inspiration is not all in all, as it is mentioned. First inspiration, then perspiration. We need to do something about it. Inspiration in itself will not help so much. Because we can go for a fired up class, we can speak also very fired up fashion, probably I'm doing that now. But that will not help a lot. For me or for you. It's good to speak fired up, there's nothing wrong, but we have to apply. As Vishwachakrita Thakur mentions in comment to 10th canto, chapter 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is such a nice parallel between the beginning of 10th canto and 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the 1st canto starts with the inquisitive sages who ask all these questions. And in the beginning of 10th canto also, Maharaj Parikshit becomes so inquisitive. He becomes so eager to hear about Krishna. He also asks about 10 or 11 questions. He wanted to know details about Krishna's appearance. So he asked questions one after another. I want to know about Krishna from his beginning till the end. How did he appear in the Yadu dynasty along with Balaram? Why did he go away from Mathura to Vrindavan? So and so forth. So about 10 questions he asked. So there, Sugadev Goswami glorifies, appreciates the questions posed by Maharaj Parikshit. And there it is mentioned, this one who is speaking, one who is listening, and one who is hearing, all of them get benefited when we talk about Krishna. There, Vishwachakrita Thakur mentioned, the most benefited person is one who speaks. One who speaks about Krishna gets the most benefit. Because, generally speaking, all can be on the absolute platform. That's a different story, but it's a general statement. Because one who speaks should know what one is speaking. Should read and study and then start speaking. And one cannot sleep while speaking. Everyone else can sleep, but the speaker cannot sleep. Right? So we make sure that we are awake. Sometimes can be very sleepy in classes, you know, especially online classes. When you keep giving classes, some of the online classes I have felt very sleepy, very tired. But can't sleep. You can close the eyes but keep speaking. So this is the point. So one who speaks gets the most benefit. Now, coming to the point, we need to apply. So we can be inspired by classes. We can be inspired by the devotees. And please note down what qualities that we want to emulate in our own life. And after that, make a plan. And then follow the plan. So this is very practical. And keep up that desire. Keep up that desire. When we associate with the devotees, please keep up that desire. And it is very beneficial. And opposite of that is being envious. Opposite of that is being envious. If you see some good qualities or somebody performing devotional service better than us, if we become envious, then what is the end result? we will never come to that platform. Never. Guaranteed. In envy, we cannot. So rather, we should appreciate. When we appreciate, and then we apply, we get the benefit. Krishna become merciful. This is a very important point. Being appreciative of devotees is very important. Those who are senior, those who are doing, maybe equal to us, but who is doing better than us in terms of some service or sadhana or whatever, be appreciative of them, and then we will also get those qualities if we apply those principles. That's why Narada Muni mentions in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to Dhruva Maharaj, generally in interaction, the material tendency is completely different. If we see somebody who is very senior to us, our tendency is to bring them down to our platform. Material tendency. Somebody is actually materially elevated than us. In the material consciousness, we want to bring them to our platform and start thinking that we are on the equal level. Similarly, even in the spiritual association, we can have this tendency. Somebody may be elevated than us in our spiritual life. We think, oh, such Prabhu or Mataji joined after me. I only preach to that person. So I must be greater. It doesn't work like that. Everyone is on their own journey. So appreciate. Such and such devotee is doing very well. So appreciate. So we don't want to bring somebody who is elevated to our level. That is material consciousness. Then Narada Muni says, somebody who is on the equal platform, what's the material consciousness? We want to push them down and we want to think that I am superior to him. We got initiated together, but still I know that I am more elevated. I am more advanced. He or she may not know, but I know that. That is the reality. This comes in the core of our heart. Can you see? And similarly, if somebody is very junior to us, we also know that they are very junior, then the tendency, the material tendency is to lord it over. So Narada Muni says, if somebody is actually struggling, we need to help them to bring them to our status or above. In fact, I heard a lecture from a devotee, and devotee made a very interesting point. When we are preaching, we should think that I am preaching to such and such person. He may be new, but he or she can use my head, not literally, but step on me and go higher in devotional life. That has to be your mood. I was thinking, this is pretty far out, isn't it? Even Prabhupada made such kind of statements, you know. My Guru Maharaj has sent all of you. So all his disciples as representatives of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Can you imagine the consciousness? And Prabhu was considered as a servant, and although pure devotee, elevated devotee, and who he was preaching to, and no qualification whatsoever, but Srila Prabhupada was able to see them as representatives of his spiritual master. Such an elevated consciousness. So we may not be on that level, but at least we should see we are acting as an instrument for everyone to make progress if we are preaching. Don't think otherwise. Don't think that we are great or anything of that sort. Those who we are preaching to, they can be more elevated than ourselves. And that's a reality we see in our life. Somebody we may preach to, they may make more progress than ourselves. Because everyone is in their own journey. So we don't know. So we had to be very careful. Otherwise, we can really commit offense. Even in preaching, even in dealing with new devotees, we can commit offense. Don't think that there is no offense when we're dealing with devotees who just started chanting. You understand? Okay, I may be chanting for 20 years. Somebody is chanting for 1 year. No, if I commit some offense, there is no problem. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So one has to be very careful. Because we tend to think that if we perform an offense to a higher devotees, we'll have problem, but somebody who is junior, it will not have any problem. It doesn't work like that. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that even if you offend jiva, that also has repercussion. Jiva means a normal living entity, not even a devotee, still there are some repercussions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes to that extent, then what to speak about devotees? So then equals, we had to make friends. We had to make friends. Serve each other like that. So we need to bring in this consciousness, and in this mood we need to associate with the devotees. And then we can get inspired
And then we can make some plans, we can have some desires and ambitions. What is our next step in devotional life? And Krishna will always reveal that to his devotees. There is no doubt about it. If we contemplate, if we look into ourselves, we can see in ourselves what is the material obstacle that I am facing and what should I do about it. Everyone can find it. Otherwise, you can go in front of the deities, you can pray, you can start chanting, you can pray to Prabhupada. Straight away, Krishna will reveal. Is it true? It is very clear. The obstacles which are in front of us, it's not an enigma. It is clear for a practitioner. And then we can work on it. We can get inspiration, we have knowledge, and we can work on it. And that will be transformational. Like we went for that Alone with Krishna retreat, a single day retreat. You know, Alone with Krishna, together with the devotees. That was the theme. It was very interesting. As we were doing our sadhana alone, then things were more and more opening up. What are the obstacles? What should we do? Krishna will reveal, for there is no doubt about it. But again, there was a strong association of the devotees as well. So we were alone with Krishna, but at the same time, we had strong association of the devotees. So this is how it works. We are always with the devotees, but we connect to Krishna, to the spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. So we can see these obstacles will be there for a practitioner, and that is given. And we cannot do anything about it, but we can do something about it. And we had to do something about it. Then we will have progress. And so, even despite whatever obstacles, for a devotee, a practitioner should have ambition to increase the sadhana and to increase the service. So it can be quantity or it can be quality. In either case, wherever we are, whatever we are, whatever position we are in, still, however busy we are, we need to cultivate this desire. Okay, there can be specific desires for devotees to perform specific issues, but otherwise, these two desires have to be common. How can I increase my service to Krishna? How can I increase my sadhana to Krishna? Not necessarily quantity, at least quality. And if that desire is there, then we are on the right track. And if we lose that track, we see that the years are passing and we are going in autopilot. We are making some progress, but not good enough. And that's why we had to be very contemplative, reflective on our spiritual life and take these principles and apply in our life. And then we can find a difference, certainly. And that's what is given here. Prahlad is on the highest platform and is a glorious devotee. I'll just speak a few words about Prahlad Maharaj before I conclude. His glories. We know that how the Lord himself appeared to protect Prahlad Maharaj and how he offered wonderful prayers. We cannot get into them today. But one of the longest prayers we can find in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can find in Prahlad Maharaj, he demonstrated humility, utmost humility. He's a perfect devotee, but he demonstrated utmost humility. And his surrender to his spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. Trastosmi aham kripana vatsala dussahogra. He's telling, I am suffering. He's not really suffering. Dussahogra. Samsara katma kadanat. He's telling, I am suffering, but he's not really suffering. He showed utmost humility, but at the same time, he demonstrated utmost compassion to living entities. So this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. And I'll just paraphrase a few words given by Lord Shiva about Prahlad Maharaj. This is from Bhagavatamrita. When Narada Muni, it's interesting, Narada Muni is trying to find greatest devotee. So he's going from one devotee to the next devotee. When he reached Lord Shiva, he started glorifying Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva started telling, please don't glorify me. I am not the greatest devotee. I have to tell you who is the great devotee. He started speaking about Prahlad Maharaj. It's very interesting because Prahlad Maharaj is a disciple of Narada Muni, and Lord Shiva is talking about his own disciple, Narada Muni's disciple, Prahlada Maharaj. And he says that, you know one thing, I am not at all a great devotee. He started saying that, look, the Lord himself appeared for Prahlada Maharaj, and Shiva said, look, I prayed to pacify Narasimhadev along with Brahma, all the demigods, Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Apsara, you may name everyone, tried to pacify Narasimhadev, but only Prahlada Maharaj could pacify the Lord. So he says, where am I and where is Prahlada Maharaj? Then he says, even though Bali Maharaj gave something in charity to Vamanadev, right? He said, that is very insignificant. Do you think that Vamanadev gave mercy to Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev became a doorkeeper in Sutala just by this insignificant donation? So according to Shiva, these three worlds, this material world, it's insignificant, which is true in one sense, because there are millions of Brahmandas, universes. So he gave one Brahmanda, apparently, not the whole thing. So that is insignificant, according to Shiva. So do you think the Lord became doorkeeper in Sutala for Bali Maharaj because of that charity? He says, no, it is because of connection to you, connection to Prahlad. Then he also says, even Banasura was spared. He was not killed. You remember that pastime, right? And Banasura, how many arms he had? Bana had? Yeah. And the Lord started chopping and he left with only four. So he said, it was not because of my prayers. Because Bana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, it was not because of my prayer. Because he was born in Asuric family and he was connected to you, and that is connected to, sorry, Prahlad, and that is the only reason he was spared. In this way, Shiva said, I am not a greater devotee. Please go to Prahlada Maharaj. And where is Prahlada Maharaj? He is still in Sutala Loka. And we heard, it is very interesting, and this is, we are in 7th canto. In the next canto, we hear the pastime of Bali Maharaj. There also, Prahlada Maharaj appears. Is it right? You remember what happened? Can you tell what happened? Why did he come? Who remembers? Why did Prahlada Maharaj come there? What happened? Did Prahlada Maharaj come? Who was bound? Bali was completely bound by the ropes of Varuna, right? Varuna Pasha. And then Prahlada came and he gave such a, again, a lecture. He said, I told you, don't be proud. If you are proud, you are going to fall down. I told you this before. Now we can see that. You chant beautiful verses. You know, Yahi vidvan abhimuhyate tatha yatha vichaste gadhimatmanam param tasmay namaste jagadishiraya vai narayanaya iti akhila saloka sakshine. He said, even a vidvan, even a learned person can fall down because of pride. So he says, you know, just I pay obeisances unto Narayan, akhila loka sakshine, unto the Supreme Lord, who is the witness of the whole world. So this is Prahlada Maharaj. And Prahlada Maharaj, he is an example of a devotee who is always with Krishna. He is always with Krishna. He was not really touching the material world in that sense. He never touched material consciousness. Always with Krishna. So this is the standard of Prahlada Maharaj. And that's why it is Ahetuki Apratihata. Pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. Always with Krishna. They are here, they are doing things, but always with Krishna. And in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, Prahlada Maharaj appeared as who? A very... yes, Vasudeva Datta, because he also demonstrated such a compassion. He said, I am ready to accept all the suffering of all the living entities in this world, and I am ready to suffer for them. Let all of them, they can go back home back to Godhead. But I am ready to suffer for them. So this is the compassion of Vasudeva Datta. So it's mentioned, he is also an expansion of Prahlada Maharaj. So we can see such a transcendental personality as Prahlada Maharaj. And we can learn these lessons and we can try to apply some of these principles in our life. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Lok Prabhu.
Van Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you mentioned before that if you have, you know, envy for someone who's a little bit higher than you,
yeah,
then you'll never reach their level.
That's right.
So, do you have any practical advice for, like, the experience of envy? And whenever you do feel that, because it's almost like you're implying that we have a choice whether we envy or we don't.
Yeah. The question is, you are asking about a solution if you feel envy?
Yeah.
Okay. Two things I will explain. One, and actually, I'll tell you two things. One, if you get an opportunity, glorify them. Okay, glorify them. So, tell something good about them. Whatever you are feeling envious of, glorify that. Yeah, Prabhu, you're doing this so nicely. Appreciate. That is good enough. Because naturally, if you're appreciating, we may not have feeling, that's okay, but we are making the right step. Second, I'll tell you, I felt envious about someone. This is probably now also, I don't know, but this incident, long back, I was starting my Krishna consciousness and I felt, one who is preaching to me, I was feeling envious of one person. And I was thinking, I felt embarrassed, you know, how can I go to this Prabhu and tell, you know, I'm feeling envious of you. Feeling, look, I can't do that. I don't have guts for that. So what I did, he was sitting, I started serving him. Okay, sitting, okay, I'll make sure that I'll give you some prasadam. So in that way, I just did that. I didn't glorify because, you know, I'm very new. It's not much of an opportunity to glorify. I didn't know what is glorification as such. Later we understand, right, glorification. When we become a devotee, we really don't know what is glorification. We have heard about flattery, but not glorification as such. So I just started serving. And when I started serving, that envy went away. So it is a very simple thing. If you take some simple right steps, it will go away. Yeah? Yeah. Thank you. What's the other question? Someone else had? Sivya?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhu, we know how Prahlad Maharaj learned everything from his womb, from Narad Muni, and that's how he became such a good preacher and a good devotee.
Mm.
But I'd like to ask, what about the friends in the school? Like, did they also have like a previous piety, or did they like do bhakti in their previous life? Because although they were born in a demoniac family, they were listening very nicely to the Krishna consciousness that was given by Prahlad Maharaj, and they were asking questions. So what was it, like because of Prahlad Maharaj's association or because of their previous birth?
Yes, what we understand, it is because of the power of Prahlad Maharaj's association. So if even somebody doesn't have piety, the pure devotees can actually create piety. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked the same question, that because if you read Bhagavatam, you can read, okay, to come to the devotional standard, you must have done this piety. Te bustabaste, juhu sushnadariya, brahmana chur nama ghananthiyete. All these verses, from this is from third canto, right? Kapila Muni's instruction. If somebody has chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one has already performed all the pieties, gone to all the tirthayatra, has done Vedic studies, everything is done, and now one is able to chant. So devotees started asking, so what was our piety? Prabhupada said, I created your piety. So pure devotees can actually create piety. In other words, pure devotees are giving the good fortune to us for those who are not qualified. So from here we can understand it is because of the power of the association of Prahlad. So powerful. Eternal associate of the Lord. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Okay, now give to Jethro.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. Well, early in the class you mentioned how if we distinguish between friends and enemies, that's a demoniac quality.
Yeah.
But then often we kind of get told, and when we're reading Prabhupada's books, that we need to learn how to discriminate
between
who's either atheist, impersonalist,
that's right,
who's favorable, not favorable. So how do we understand?
Yeah, good. It's a good question. Yes, it's the quality of a Madhyama devotee. Bhagavatam 11th canto, Isha Upanishad, Nectar of Instruction, many places it is mentioned, the quality of a Madhyama. So Madhyama or an intermediate devotee must discriminate. It's a quality and which we aspire for. which is very good. So we can see who is advanced, who is on the equal level, who is innocent, who is an atheist. So we respond to them accordingly. Senior, we serve. Equal, we make friends. And those who are atheistic and enemies of the devotees, we avoid them. And innocent, we preach. So this is how we respond to different categories of people. And we must come to that platform where we can see actually there is some idea who is actually a devotee and who is not a devotee. Who is advanced, who is not advanced. We may not be able to understand exactly which level they are. That only through advancement we can know. Otherwise we cannot. But we must have a general idea. Now, here, the center point of this distinction is Krishna. Because how we can make Krishna, progress in Krishna consciousness. That is the center point of it. And that's why we are discriminating. Again, we are avoiding those who are acting inimically to the devotees, but we don't see them as enemies as such. Or, certain cases, yes. Say, for example, Prabhupada said, you know, in the Juhu pastime, you know, it was a good fight. Narasimhadev killed him. So Prabhupada rejoiced in that sense. So that element is there. But it is all in connection to Krishna. And it's all in connection to individual, collective, spiritual progress. It is not for personal, material ambition. Whereas, in this material world, friends and enemies are created. Why? Whoever is supporting my sense gratification is my friend, and whoever is not, my enemy. So the center point is kama, material desire, lust. Whereas here it is prema, love for the Lord. So a practicing devotee, an advancing devotee, must learn how to discriminate so that we can avoid some impediments. That discrimination will help us to avoid impediments. Otherwise, if we associate with those who are criticizing devotees, we constantly associate, we will also be affected. So one center is Krishna, another center is our material desires. So that's what is mentioned here. So it's not about that discrimination. Is that okay? Yeah, final, maybe one question. Look, okay, Dvija Prabhu. Okay, maybe Dvija Prabhu and then, yeah.
You mentioned about the mood of the devotees, where even though they've introduced Krishna consciousness to newer devotees, that they're still happy to let them come forward. And even you mentioned how they can even step on the head of the preachers and go to Krishna.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada's mood was that. So can you please elaborate on that mood of those preachers, or what exactly are they thinking while preaching and after?
Give everything what they need. That's all. But what they need, not what we know. While preaching or facilitating, if somebody is coming up, we give everything what they need. And as they're progressing, we should be able to give them what they need. Initially, it can be the basic philosophy, helping them be situated in Krishna consciousness, start chanting, increase chanting, come to 16 rounds, etc. But after a few years, that is not the need. One may be chanting 16 rounds. One may have other needs as well. In spiritually, one may need to know more. One may need more inspiration. So we need to give according to the time, place, circumstances, whatever they need. And we don't hold back anything. We give whatever is required. So that takes effort. That takes thought as well. So we help in whichever we can. That is the essential point. And we don't think, this is another issue we can think, if we give everything, will such and such devotee take my position? This is a material consciousness. You know, in the company when we are working, that's how it is, right? I know, because I don't work, but I have spoken to many devotees, they say, when we recruit someone or somebody is coming up, they are very careful that nobody is going to step over me. I will not give everything, you know, make sure that he's always one step down, make sure. One devotee told me a story. I know I do the recruitment, I am such and such manager, and I do the recruitment. I make sure that when I am recruiting, no one can, a qualification or something which is lower than me, who can never come to my position, that's how I recruit. I always make sure. It's very diligent, diplomatic, very good in work. It's okay, we are, you know, swimming with the sharks, it's okay. But for the devotees, no. We don't really think in that way. Somebody do better than me, we accept. No problem. Does that make sense? We do our humble service and we see how Krishna is helping. It's fine. It's a challenge for us. These kind of thoughts can come to our mind. As the time progresses, as people are coming up, these kind of things can come. So we need to be spiritually satisfied. If you are spiritually satisfied, then you will be able to help. We don't have to hold back anything. Especially this insecurity comes when one is not connected to Krishna. Inside, if one is happy, then this insecurity will not come. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. I think we had to stop. It's getting pretty late. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.